Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about COVID chaos, the confusion, the dilemma that's been taking place for over a year in America. And as we talk about COVID chaos, since COVID is a medical issue, we're talking with a physician. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Grable today. Dr. Grable is a board-certified physician, and we're talking about COVID and what is taking place with America and whether or not mask works. And I believe we have Dan on the line. Dan, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. Quick statement, then a question. I believe we are in an era of the mark of the mask and the mark of the vaccine. I feel it's a prelude to who will take the chip or who will take the tattoo. And I believe that's what this has got a big part of and that. And second, my question, I'm a survivor of 23 years of quadruple bypass. Can you tell the audience how important it is for me and others like me to get as much oxygen into the bloodstream as possible and the dangers the mask have in reducing that that airflow in the blood?
Dan, thank you for your call. Dr. Grable, would you respond to our caller?
Yes, I couldn't agree more. The important thing, in my opinion, is to keep your immune system strong. So what I do with my patients is just purely my opinion. It's not advice because I'm not, you know, the listeners aren't my patient, but I have them on 5,000 units of vitamin D3, 5,000 units of vitamin A, so 5,000 of A and D daily, vitamin C twice a day, and say 30 milligrams or so of zinc. And those four things have done remarkably well in helping my patients, in addition to, you know, getting plenty of sleep, you know, trying to keep your stress down. I would definitely turn off the news, except for Dr. Youngblood's program. And, you know, your body has, like I said, amazing ability to heal. I've treated roughly 20 to 25 patients for COVID. I use several medicines, and every single one of them is doing well. I've not had a single death, and I'm not bragging because I give my patients credit because they're the ones doing the work. But we have taken what I call just a flu bug, and the deep state has used this to crush our economy and move us in the wrong direction. And I'm hoping people can wake up.
Absolutely. Dan, did that answer your question?
Been on supplements since 97. The day I walked out of the hospital, I went to GNC and got a list. And I do not get sick to speak of. And I'm doing quite well at age 70, quite active. And I just believe that the sheeple have got to understand that this is not only their lives, but it is the lives of their children and their grandchildren that they're jeopardizing by being the sheeple. And I'll leave it at that.
Dan, thank you for your call. And I believe you're exactly right. And to go back to a theological, biblical component of your question, I do not believe that the vaccine that we presently have is the mark that is discussed in Revelation 13. I believe it is a precursor to that mark that ultimately we will have. I believe that each iteration of these vaccines, and they're on multiple track today, I believe they have different components of what ultimately will be that COVID pass that will be required to be able to travel, to buy, sell, trade, open your own business, or to go to a physician or have medical insurance coverage, or to be able to go out to a restaurant, etc. We're on the fast track. Several nations today are requiring that. The nation of Israel, for example, as we speak, they have made it an absolute requirement by this nation, by the state, to have a COVID pass. And so we're on the fast track for that. And I do believe it is the ultimate identification mark that will be required during the days of the tribulation. And that will be under the leadership and the dominion of the Antichrist. And by the way, theologically, eschatologically speaking, in a chronological fashion, that is after the rapture of the church. So, Dr. Grable, I'm of the opinion that a mask, just as you've said, not only it's harmful to the health, but it's destroying the psyche of the general public. There's a mindset today that I'm a little more protected than you, I'm safer than you, you're the enemy because you don't wear a mask. Do you have any response to that kind of mindset, what it's doing psychologically, though you're not a psychologist, but from a medical standpoint, how do you evaluate that? What do you see in it?
I think it's social conditioning, and it keeps reinforcing this idea of fear. You know, at the Nuremberg trials, they asked Hermann Goering, who was head of the Luftwaffe, how the German people, who were arguably the smartest people on the planet, would blindly follow Hitler. And he said it was easy, fear. And that's exactly what's happened today, is they have this 24/7 drumbeat. People are just terrified. And if you walk in the store, people will move aside to get away from you. People are avoiding each other. I think this stuff is all very Luciferian, and even masks have Luciferian backgrounds, which you, I'm sure, know more about than I do.
Yes, absolutely. Doctor, hold on a moment. I believe we have David on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hi, good afternoon. While we're on the subject of vaccines, I'd like to know where the doctor stands on that.
Dr. Grable, would you respond to that?
Okay. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. If you look at the definition of vaccine, technically a vaccine is supposed to stimulate antibody production to prevent transmission of the disease. And this so-called, or these so-called COVID vaccines do not fulfill the second corollary. And they really function as sort of a gene manipulation therapy. Now, there are some things going around on social media that the mRNA that's injected will alter your DNA. I don't think there's any evidence of that. But what we are concerned about is that if you look at Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines, they're encased in a coating called PEG, or polyethylene glycol. And about 70% of the population is allergic to PEG. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing a lot of these anaphylactic deaths because of this. And your DNA will read this messenger RNA and just continue to put out what are called spike proteins. These are the components that are on the outside of the virus that stimulate the body to make antibodies. Now, messenger RNA normally is broken down very quickly in the body. The concern here is that because of this PEG envelope, we don't know how long this is going to last in the cells. So are people going to continue to produce spike protein for days, weeks, months, years? Nobody knows. And this is the thing that really scares us, is we've got a experimental gene therapy. They've bypassed animal studies. Right now, the tally is roughly 1,000 deaths and over 12 or 13,000 reported side effects. And we know that's a fraction of the total. So because your body can fight things, I can't recommend that you do or don't get vaccinated. But I think if you research what I'm saying and study yourself, I personally would not take the so-called vaccines, because I think, number one, they're unnecessary, and number two, I think they're very dangerous.
Yes. Doctor, hold on one moment. I believe we have John on the line with a question. Go ahead, question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. One thing, I want to plug your book, The Doctrine of Self-Defense. I just got it in the mail. Thank you. It's an awesome book.
And thank you so much.
Okay. So, Doctor, thank you very much for being on the show. My wife and I, the end of June, we ended up getting COVID. The end of June for me, the early part of July for her. She is still experiencing side effects, like her smell. Strong smells have a chemical smell to it. Coffee smells like sulfur. Her taste, food taste, it tastes rotten or like chemicals on spicy food she can eat. Her mouth and her tongue feels like it's burned. I'm reading her notes. And then sore throat. She has a sore throat off and on, and then fatigue. So just had blood work done. They're checking for antibodies. I had mine checked, so I have the antibodies, but she's supposed to be going back to her doctor next Monday. But it's just not only having the virus, but there are people that are having prolonged side effects from the virus. Anything that you can tell us about that? I'm on speakerphone. Is that okay?
That's good. Go ahead, Dr. Grable, go ahead with that answer.
Yes, what we're finding is about a third of patients are what we call long haulers. That's the little term they use now, where for anywhere from 5 to 6 months and perhaps longer, people can have continued symptoms. Everyone's still trying to figure out exactly what's happening. Regarding your wife, there would be a couple of tips that I would do for myself if I was in that situation. I would make sure that I was getting somewhere between 30 and 45 milligrams of zinc a day. Zinc is very key for immune system, smell, taste, that sort of thing. And I would pop vitamin C like candy. I do that routinely anyway. The worst thing will happen with vitamin C is you get a little diarrhea. But C is a really good detoxifier. It's a good antiviral. Dr. Klenner, years ago, cured 60 out of 60 polio patients with IV vitamin C. And so these are some things that your body could do to help fight this off. And I think, as I said, we're still trying to figure out what exactly is going on with all this. But the A, C, D, and zinc, those four things, I think, would be smart.
Very good. John, thank you so much for your call today. And God bless you. Go ahead.
Okay, can you have him repeat the four supplements? Because we've been taking, we're taking vitamin D3. It has K2 on it, which is supposed to help with absorption. Mm-hmm. And then we've got zinc and selenium, vitamin C. Go ahead.
Doctor, if you would, Dr. Grable, go ahead and give that overview of the vitamins and mineral supplements that you recommend.
Yes, so just starting with vitamin A, if someone is sick and they've not been taking it, I would have them take somewhere between 50 and 100 supplements once. There's actually some good data years ago with measles. They gave children 200,000 to 300,000 units of vitamin A once or twice, and it knocked the measles right out. And you can find that on PubMed. If you've been taking vitamin A, then 5,000 units a day should be safe and not be a problem. Same with vitamin D. Now, I think I heard that your wife's been taking D. So, you know, 5,000 units, I've never seen toxicity with that dose. And I think that's a good amount. That's what I take. And then vitamin C, I said, I would take that more than twice a day, several times a day, anywhere from 500 to 1,000 milligram. And then zinc, you know, 30 to 45 milligrams daily, somewhere in that ballpark.
We have the one zinc we have is 50 milligrams, so that's a little too much.
That should be okay. Usually you don't see immune system suppression until you get up over 100 milligrams. Now, I will, just as an aside, if you go back and look at the work of Jonathan Wright, one of the fathers of functional medicine, he was always talking about copper. And so zinc and copper teeter-totter with each other. So it's recommended to have about a milligram of copper for every 15 milligrams of zinc. So with 50 milligrams of zinc, 3 milligrams of copper daily, or at least a couple times a week, wouldn't be a bad idea.
Very good. Okay. Well, John, John, thank you so much for your call, brother. Keep on looking up. I believe we have another call on the line. Jim, go over to the question or comment, please. Hello? Jim, I believe we lost you. Dr. Grable, we're talking about the pathogen, ladies and gentlemen, COVID-19, and the chaos and the confusion, the dilemma that is being found across our nation. We're talking with Dr. Stephen Grable. Dr. Grable is a board-certified physician, and we're talking with him about these issues. Dr. Grable, we're talking about the vaccine, and basically, as I understand it, there would be the potential of more harm and danger in a vaccine than there would be efficacy in doing so, especially if we're talking about one as the COVID vaccination that is only what we would call experimental because it was not fully vetted to be beneficial. But yet you have Pfizer and others saying it's 95% efficacious. Would you talk with us about that? Is that valid? Do we understand that it's supposed to be that high a percentage rate of benefit to us? Or has that number, has that equation derived?
Well, let me see. You know, it's always hard. They rush you to say, give numbers on the radio. There, it's important for your listeners to understand the difference between what's called relative risk reduction
yes.
and absolute risk reduction. So with Pfizer, they took roughly 44,000 people, divided them in half. Half got the vaccine, half got a true placebo control. At the end, they came up with 170 cases. And what's interesting is I know an MD who had worked on that project, and he said they had trouble coming up with 170 cases of COVID. Now, that alone should cause people to scratch their head and say, you're going to tell 44,000 people and you had trouble coming up with 170 cases, you know. So anyway, 162 were in the control, 8 were in the vaccine group. That's where they get that 95% improvement. If you, it's relative risk reduction. Now, if you calculate absolute risk reduction, it's 0.7%, meaning that you have to treat 140 people for one person to have benefit. Now, to help you understand this easier, take 100 people. If two people get a disease, that's a 2% incidence. If you drop that from 2 to 1, that's a 50% relative risk reduction. It's a 1% absolute risk reduction. And that's what drug companies do, is they report benefit in relative risk reduction and side effects in absolute risk increase. See how that trick works?
Yes, it's the numbers game. I believe we have Jim back on the line. Jim, go over to the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon.
Happy to have you on there with us. Good question.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The question is the Moderna and Pfizer mRNA there, the Johnson & Johnson that is getting ready to be evaluated and possibly for public use, that is different. First on storage, you know, the Moderna and Pfizer has to be extremely cold. But I've also read somewhere, but I can't find a lot of information, and maybe you know this, it was developed differently. I'm under the assumption that the Johnson & Johnson would probably be the superior of the three because it's one dose and because it's predicated on the old-style way of vaccination. Do you have any more knowledge on this?
Well, I've tried to dive into this. You know, it is very difficult to get clear facts about these things, which should also be a head scratcher for people. The other vaccines will deliver the messenger RNA in a DNA capsule, if you will. To my knowledge, and I could be wrong, but they have still have yet to really truly isolate the virus. So what we're dealing with are little pieces of messenger RNA. It is true the J&J one is not going to be in the PEG envelope, but if you look at also their data, I think they have a 66% relative risk reduction rather than in the 90s like the Pfizer and Moderna. But I would encourage the listeners to get a book called Dissolving Illusions by Suzanne Humphreys. You can get the ebook for $10, and you can look at the graphs of infectious disease that came throughout history. See, I think that vaccines, we've had a 200-year history of vaccines being one of the greatest inventions in modern history. And yet, if you look at these graphs, and I have these in talks that I give, virtually every single one of these infectious diseases was almost down to zero when they brought in the vaccines. Smallpox actually had a spike in smallpox after the introduction of vaccines. So vaccines, because of the adjuvants, and we don't have time, just time constraints here, to go into detail, but they are not, in my view, and from everything I've read, cracked up to what we're led to believe. And I think if you start and go back and look at the premise for vaccines in the first place, I think it may change your viewpoint. So I would strongly encourage everyone to work and learn how to strengthen your immune system. That is your best out. Because I'll tell you something, COVID 2.0, COVID 3.0, et cetera, they're coming. They've already told us this.
That's
and
right.
So I think, you know, are we just going to keep getting more and more vaccines, which Lord knows what that's going to do to our immune system? It's very frightening.
Jim, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I did. I have no plans on getting it. I was just there's not a lot of information available on the Johnson & Johnson, and it seems like you start looking for it, and it's like a rabbit hole, you know?
Yep. Imagine that.
Imagine that. Gentlemen, you have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for your call. God bless you. Dr. Grable, we've got a few minutes left on the broadcast in that time frame. What we're simply saying, what you're saying in general that I believe I understand, is that vaccines is not the utopian solution for the COVID or for the pathogen. Howbeit, there are a lot of folks that believe that, and there are a lot of people that are lining up to get the vaccination, believing that somehow, some way, they're going to be free of having to be locked down. Dr. Grable, I have been reading an extensive amount of material on the subject. And as I understand it, the Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and Dr. Tedros and others that have come into the picture are saying that even with the vaccines, we still need to be locked down, schools still need to be closed, and we still need to wear masks, 2, 3, even 4 masks. So that should show the general public that there's not a real solution in just simply saying, I'm going to get a vaccination, then I'm set free. Is that the way you understand it?
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting that Merck tried to create a vaccine, and their final word was, the best thing is to come up with treatments for the disease, which I thought was interesting. You know, I think they kind of stumbled on the truth, probably primarily because they couldn't come up with a vaccine, but I think they're dead on. And I told my patients right from the beginning that I always wanted to get small amounts of the virus, not a big viral load, but small amounts, and let my body form immunity naturally. And that's always your best immunity, is natural immunity to these things. So not I argue right from the beginning is I don't think, in my opinion, vaccines are even necessary for this bug. And like I said, if you go back and you read Suzanne's book and Richard Moskowitz's books, you'll be really scratching your head. You know, we get vaccines. We can maybe talk about that deeper on another program. But I would encourage, check out, I don't know if your listeners have heard of Judy Mikovits. She's gained a bit of popularity, yes. Mikovits. There's an interesting interview with her and Joe Mercola. It's about an hour long, and she goes through. She is just terrified. She's a molecular biologist, virologist, I believe knows her stuff, and she's terrified of what she thinks we're going to be seeing down the road with these so-called vaccines.
Absolutely. And Dr. Grable, I believe, and this is just my personal position, because I'm a no masker and a no vaxxer, and I just simply believe, as you have stated, that we need to keep our immune system in order, and it would ward off these diseases. But I believe, and I don't know if you want to respond to it or not, but I believe that we are watching the control of the people for the pushing of a socialistic totalitarian system of governance, and they're using the fear of COVID as a methodology to institute and to bring that on. That's just my position. And we're watching Joe Biden and his administration headed in that direction. Do you believe that we're rapidly approaching a day when we'll have to have a COVID pass to do anything in America, to be able to go from state to state or to any national travel? Do you believe it's potential that we're going to be required to have a COVID pass, that is a COVID vaccination, verification of that, to be able to be tracked and followed on a global basis? Do you believe that's the potential for the future of our nation and for the world?
Absolutely. And if you look at COVID, I think this was 10 years in the planning. The Rockefeller Institute in 2010 discussed a viral pandemic. And I believe, and this is my personal belief, that this has been in the planning stages for a good 10 years, and that their ultimate goal is to have forced COVID vaccination and RF chipping. And so I tell my patients, you know, not to be, I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist. I tell my patients, prayerfully consider what you're going to do. I think that an RF chip in and of itself is not immoral or unethical, but we all know, because who's behind this, what the ultimate goal is. And whether Absolutely. It's a year, 2 years, 5 years, what have you, at some point, you're going to be required to worship the beast. I'm a Christian as well. And I just think,
No, I'm in full agreement with that. Dr. Grable, we've got about 30 seconds left on the broadcast. Would you be kind enough to let our listeners know how they could reach you, your office, and give them any contact information to do so?
Sure. The easiest thing is go to my website, which is Dr. Grable. That's Dr. Grable, drgrable.com. And we have all our contact information. I'm behind Beaches Hospital at the beach, and would love to see any of your listeners who'd like to come.
That'd be great. Ladies and gentlemen, I highly recommend it, because I believe Dr. Grable is on target with what he's saying, and we need to do that, which would honor the Lord in protecting our bodies. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Dr. Grable, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.